each meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
And good afternoon and welcome to Winds of Change. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am the Cardinal Francis George Fellow at the Ethics and Public Policy Center in Washington, D.C. And it is my privilege today to be sitting in for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I have with me today an incredibly inspirational guest. She is Camilla Daly, Cammy, as we call her, who is a music minister by trade, but a mother and wife by vocation. She's the mother of seven children, five boys and two girls. And Cammy is going to share with us a really incredible story of a miracle that involves the birth of her youngest child, her son. So, Cammy, welcome. Thank you for joining me today in Winds of Change.
Well, thank you so much, Mary. It's a very humbling experience for me to be able to share with your listeners our story, and I thank you so much for this opportunity.
Oh, well, I think, you know, oh my goodness, the pleasure is all ours, because I think even just kind of telling people a little bit about this over the weekend that you were going to be on, the number of people who said, oh my goodness, this is great, I'm going to listen. I read about this in the paper. It's such an incredible story. I'm so glad you're having her. So there's a lot of mutual enthusiasm, Cammy. Let me put it to you that way. So, the miracle of your son Solanus's birth, and the reason he has the name Solanus, you can't tell the story very quickly. So I'm glad that we really have the full hour here today to talk about what happened and the way that God worked through Father Solanus, now Blessed Solanus Casey, to intercede for your child's life, and the way that you honored Father Solanus by naming your son Solanus after him. So let's sort of start at the beginning.
Okay.
Father Solanus Casey, who was he, and how did you come to learn about him, his spirituality, and what was it that you found so special about him? So what was the connection that you felt with him when you learned about who he was?
Well, I learned about Solanus Casey first through a friend of mine who had introduced me to it was a video put out by Ignatius Press called Priest, Priest, Porter, Prophet.
Right.
And it's an excellent, excellent film. I highly recommend it to anybody that wants to learn more about Solanus Casey. And when I watched the video, I automatically felt this connection to him right away, because he reminded me so much of my grandfather, who was a farmer and grew up in Wisconsin,
right,
as did Solanus Casey.
Right, so Solanus Casey's parents were from Ireland. They were immigrants.
They were Irish immigrants, right?
In a very German community. That's part of Wisconsin, was very heavily German, if I recall. I read his biography,
yes,
many years ago, which I think was called Thank God Ahead of Time, that the one that Father Michael Crosby wrote. And that was sort of a big part of the beginning of the book, was that they were Irish immigrants in a very, very German community. And so he kind of, Solanus Casey kind of grew up understanding what it was like to be sort of not really a part of the community fully, because they just, you know, they didn't speak the German language, et cetera.
That's correct.
So that was, he was one of 15 children.
Well, he was actually the sixth of 16 children.
16, ooh. Mm-hmm.
And he was born in 1870 on the farm. And his parents, he grew up Catholic, and they really brought home the faith to the family. So he did grow up with a very solid foundation and a close relationship with God from the very beginning. He was very close to the soil, being a farmer and so mm-hmm. forth, very close to nature.
To God's creation.
And God's creation, right. Exactly. So he did have that foundation from the very beginning, but as he was growing up, his normal boyhood life, you know, with the difficulties and the hard work of being a farmer, he did, like anyone else, he was a regular young man, and he fell in love with a young woman, and he did propose marriage to her, but her parents sent her away to boarding school, and this devastated him, of course, because he thought that might be his vocation, was to be married. However, that not being the case, he went on to be a streetcar driver, and one day when he was driving the streetcar, he witnessed a horrible crime. A man actually was in the, you know, stabbing a woman on the tracks where Solanas had to stop. He witnessed this murder, and because of this horrible crime, Solanas felt in his heart a desire to make the world a better place.
Right. He was so shocked by that, if I recall from the book. So this would have been, he was born in 1870, so this would have been in about 1895 or so, correct? Because I remember he entered
It was in 1891, actually,
woman... Oh, so much earlier. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So something happened to his heart that he experienced this pain of God's people. And through this pain, he decided, you know, he wanted to make what he could do to make the world a better place. He needed to do something about it.
Okay.
So he did enter the seminary, I believe in Milwaukee, and he entered the seminary. He decided to...
The Capuchin Franciscans.
Right.
Correct.
He was sent to become a Capuchin Franciscan. They sent him to St. Bonaventure Parish in Detroit, Michigan.
Right.
And this is where he was all set to become a priest. That was his newfound desire and goal, and thought that this is what God wanted for him.
But this
he
is
did
when,
find,
the German, when the German comes back to haunt
right,
him again.
Exactly.
Right,
exactly. He was challenged by the education, however,
right,
because being Irish, he had trouble with the German.
And so many of the classes in mm-hmm. this particular religious community were taught in German because it was founded by German immigrants. And so for the ease of their education, most of the classes were in that. And he just, he was not a stupid man, was he, Kim? He just could not grasp the German language, as I think many, many others before him could not, and many others since.
Exactly. It was a very humbling experience for him because he was not stupid by any means. But yet education, because of this language barrier, was a real challenge for him. And so the order deemed it, he wouldn't be able to become a priest with
right.
full faculties.
So they caught, back in those days, listeners, for those of you who aren't familiar, that there were sort of two kinds of priests. There were simplex priests, mm-hmm. which is what Father Solanas was ordained at, which means he could say Mass, but he could not preach. And he could not hear confessions. So the people in the community began to call him the brother who says Mass. So basically, mm-hmm. he could do everything the religious brothers did, except with the exception that he could say Mass, but he couldn't preach, he couldn't speak publicly, et cetera, because he wasn't able to academically complete the requirements for full ordination, if you will, for all of the faculties that would have been given to most other priests at the time. So
right.
a very humbling thing for someone who... you know, as we think now, my goodness, think of the homilies he might have been able to preach. But rather than preaching a homily with his life, with mm-hmm. his words, rather, he preached a homily with his life.
Exactly. And then he was called to do menial duties such as sacristan, the vestments, taking care of the altar, enrolling individuals in the masses.
Right.
And ultimately, he was given the duty of a porter or a doorkeeper.
Right.
Where he would welcome people. And this is, of course...
And that's when
we come
right,
to know where he
yeah, where God
became,
really started to work through Solanas Casey, because
right.
he came into contact with people all day long, every day, 24/7. He and anytime the door rang, because the Franciscans have that particular charism of wanting to see Christ, particularly in the poor and being present to people. They always answered the door, for the most part. And so it was very important. The position of the porter was a busy one. And it brought him into contact with everyone, people of every station, but largely the poor and the sick of that community who would come and ask for food or would come and mm-hmm. ask for assistance or who would simply come and ask for prayers.
That's right. And Father Solanas, some people ask, oh, is that his name, Solanas? That's unusual. He was actually born as Bernard Casey. That was his name.
Right.
When he became a priest, he took on the name Solanas, which he derived from St. Francis Solano, who was a Spanish Franciscan missionary.
Correct.
Who is known for evangelizing Chile, Argentina, and Peru.
Right. And so in Latin, Solano is Solanas. And so he was ordained Francis Solanas, but always went by Father Solanas, correct?
Yes, everyone called him Father Solanas.
Right. And so, yeah, so it is an unusual name. And I know people often wonder, is that Solanas, is that a saint's name? It will be a saint's name soon. But, you know, it really comes from, as you mentioned, it's the Latinization of Solano, who Father Francis Solano, who was, as you mentioned, the Spanish missionary to Peru and the Franciscan priest who had such a love for especially the poor native mm-hmm. children there. And he, you know, interesting, one of the things that Father Solanas, who had, as you mentioned, been called Barney when he was a boy, Bernard or Barney,
mm-hmm.
What a thing he had in common with both Father Francis Solanas and himself was they both loved to play the violin.
Yes, I knew Father Solanas did. I didn't know that the other did.
The other did
okay,
as well.
That's news to me.
He would play, from what I understand, he would play violin for the children in Peru that he was evangelizing and working with. And that's how he first sort of engaged them in discussions about the faith, was by playing music for them. So
it's
very interesting that they both enjoyed that in particular. And you as a musician, Cammy, I'm sure, a church musician in particular, know how God can reach people with music. This is all being tied together.
I often think of Solanas Casey when I am doing music, and I think of the story where, you know, people would say, well, he wasn't a very good violinist. He would play, but he was a little hard on the ears. And but there was one story where someone said his favorite song, I think, to play before the baby Jesus was Silent Night. And they walked in, and he was playing Silent Night. And all of a sudden, it was in tune, and it was absolutely beautiful. Mm. And they said, you know, it was like God took it. And he was playing it before the baby Jesus, but maybe it was out of tune and it wasn't good, but God took it, or our Blessed Mother took it and made it
beautiful.
And
right.
I always think about that. I always tell my choir when I'm working with the choir, I said, it doesn't matter. As long as we give it to Our Lady, as long as we live it to the Lord and it's in our hearts, they take it and they make it gold. So we pray about it and we say, we want to do this for the Lord, to bring hearts to the Lord. And she does. She always takes it and she turns it into gold and mm-hmm. makes it beautiful every time. So I think of that story of Solanas as well, that he would play.
He would play his violin.
It didn't sound good,
right.
But God took it and made it sound beautiful.
Well, he would use it as part of his prayer time. I was once on a retreat with Father Benedict Rochelle, who is also a Franciscan Capuchin, who was mm-hmm. a member of his community. And so was assigned, when he was a young novice, was assigned to Detroit in the same friary that Father Solanas lived in. And he remembered one time he went down to the chapel at night to go in to pray
mm-hmm. Yes.
during adoration. And Blessed Solanas was sitting in front of the tabernacle playing his violin. And he said you could tell it was almost as trance is a word that doesn't quite grasp what I'm trying to say, but completely mesmerized by the presence of the Lord. And it was clear that this violin playing to God mm-hmm. was a gift he was presenting to God. And Benedict Rochelle, and this was before many people knew who he was, he said that image, mm-hmm. he said, remains with me to this day. And now, of course, he's very famous and people knew that he, you know, liked to do that, but a very simple man. You know, he again wasn't stupid, just was not, he didn't have all the faculties that most priests do simply because he couldn't grasp the German language. But boy, he was, you know, when we talk about people having EQ, emotional quotient, and IQ, he had a very strong EQ. He could read people, couldn't he?
He could. Yes, he had the gift of I guess if you call it reading souls, or kind of knowing ahead of time what would happen. And a lot of people would come to him for that, you know, what's going to happen to my son? What's going to happen to my daughter? Are they going to be okay? That prophecy that he could foretell.
Right.
And they would get often, you know, and sometimes an answer of, well, let's see what the good Lord wants.
Right. And often you knew that meant things.
And sometimes
were not,
that would, right. And then they would know, well,
right.
you know, if Father Solanas says that, he must know ahead of time
right.
that maybe they're not going to make it.
Yeah.
Or there was one great story where during World War II, parents were very concerned about their sons going to war. And they were, one of the sons was on a battleship, and the parents wanted to enroll him in the Mass and said, "Father Solanas, will you please pray for our son and let's, you know, have a novena for our son who's going off on the ship." And Father Solanas said, "Well, you know, I think it's very important that we pray for all the young men on that ship." Mm. And as it turns out, that ship was torpedoed.
Wow.
And every single person on that ship survived.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
oh, my goodness. Now, that's one story I had not heard about him. And there are so many stories. And, Cami, we're going to go to a short break. Listeners, please don't go away. We have plenty of more interesting stories about Solanas Casey, one of them being the birth of Cami's son, Solanas Daly. And we're going to hear a little bit more about that when we return. This is Mary Fiorito sitting in today for Father Anthony on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, Adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Welcome to a St. Nicholas Minute. Do you know what the Christmas spirit is? Some say the Christmas spirit is a feeling of love, joy, and peace that comes this time each year. You know, it's not a bad answer. It's just incomplete. The Christmas spirit is the living presence of the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, actively animating and perfecting the lives of Christians. In fact, the love, joy, and peace that we associate with the Christmas spirit are what St. Paul calls the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Many wish the Christmas spirit could be with us all year round. Well, I've got news for you. It can. Why do you think I'm so jolly? So even long after the Christmas decorations are stored away, our hearts can be filled 365 days with the same love, joy, and peace that the angels proclaimed to the shepherds, if we are open to the power of the Holy Spirit, the true Christmas spirit. For Christ is born, glorify him.
And welcome back. This is Mary Helen Fiorito. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony here on listener-supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ, and I am so privileged and pleased to be joined today by Camilla Daly. We call her Cami, who is the music director at St. Vincent Ferrer Parish in River Forest, Illinois. And that is her vocation, along with primarily being the mother to 7 children and a wife to her husband, Will. And Cami has a particular interest and devotion to a new blessed in the church. So someone who is on his way to becoming a saint, who was just beatified, the second step in the road to canonization, 2 weeks ago in Detroit. He was a Franciscan Capuchin friar named Father Solanas Casey. And we were just talking about some of the, Father Solanas Casey is interesting in that so many miracles and so many, you know, wondrous things God did through him happened while he was still very much alive. And we have, you know, ample records of it. He didn't die until the late 1950s. And we were starting to talk about during World War II, where a family had come, Cami, to ask Father Solanas to pray for their son, who was in the Navy and was on a ship. And Father Solanas, who seemed to have this sort of foreknowledge of events and things, said to the family, "Well, why don't we pray for all the men on that ship?" And then later you were saying that ship wound up being torpedoed.
Yes, it was torpedoed. And, of course, the ship was destroyed, but every single man on that ship was saved.
Yeah, that's just, it's just remarkable and miraculous.
And you mentioned Father Grischel before.
Yes, Father
Benedict
Grischel.
And there were a couple
Grischel,
other
yeah.
stories that came to mind, too, that I recall hearing that Father Grischel witnessed about Father Solanas. He said that in the order, Father Solanas was known as the brother who said Mass, but couldn't hear confessions. So he was kind of, that was his title, the brother who said Mass, but couldn't hear confessions.
Right.
So in humility, he did say that because Father Solanas had accepted in humility that will of God, he believed that that is why he became a saint, because of that acceptance of the disappointments and the humiliations during life that he accepted.
Right.
So anyway, another story that I remember Father Groeschel telling was the bee story, that one day in their yard, there was a beehive, and the brothers were running around screaming and saying that the bees are going crazy. They're all over the place. We need to take care of this. So one of the novices said, go get Father Solanas, because Father Solanas also had, like St. Francis, he had a special relationship with the animals. And one of the brothers said that he actually witnessed seeing a robin sitting on Father Solanas's hands and he was petting the robin. Well, this novice ran in to get Father Solanas to see what he could do about the bees, because they knew that he had a way with animals, not just trained animals, but animals in the wild.
Right.
And so,
which is sort of a Franciscan charism anyway, isn't it? St. Francis of Assisi, so often associated with, love for animals and God's creation.
Exactly. So he ran in, got Father Solanas. Father Solanas came out. Everyone else had protective gear on, their gloves and their hats, and he came out just in his vestments, nothing on for protection. He walked over to the beehive, and he stuck his hand right into the hole, and Father Groeschel said, "I witnessed this. I was there. I saw this with my own eyes." And he put his hand in there, and he pulled out a queen bee, and he said, "You know, there can't be two queens in the hive at the same time, so we need to take one of them out, and they'll settle down."
Wow.
And he said, "I witnessed him hold this bee in his hand, and he took a cloth, and he just wrapped the bee gently around it, took it away to let it go. And then I saw him go in, open up his sleeve, and out came a swarm of bees."
Oh, my goodness.
Right out of the sleeve.
Wow.
And he wasn't even stung from that incident.
Right.
So that was one of the stories. And then the other one that I remembered after you said you were talking about him witnessing the violin story, of him playing before the tabernacle. Father Groeschel, also, when he was a young novice, he walked into the chapel one evening, and he didn't think anyone else was there. He turned on the light and, didn't hear any movement or anything at all, so he thought no one was there.
Mm-hmm.
But as he looked around, he saw Father Solanas with his hands raised before the tabernacle, just praying, sitting there without moving at all. And
wow.
He said, this is such a modest man. The slightest noise, he didn't even notice he turned on the lights. He would have gotten up, and not made any, attention to himself.
Correct.
There praying.
Right. He was, so humble.
However, he said he didn't move. He said, "And I stood there for 3-5 minutes, and I stood there just watching him, and not a movement came out of him." And he said his eyes were closed but slightly parted, and he just didn't move. And he said, I was young at the time. I didn't know what the word ecstasy meant at the time, but he said he was in ecstasy.
Right.
He was having an out-of-body experience
while he was praying. Yeah.
Because he was there bodily, but
right.
His soul was outside of himself,
right.
In God.
Right.
And this is what, he said, that his life was surrounded by being not just loving God, but he was in love with God.
Right, right, right. I have heard that many people said that he was so in love with God, and that so much so that nothing could upset him or disturb him, because for him, if it was God's will, then it was something that was good. And, that was a real, I think, an aspect of his spirituality that sometimes, it's overlooked, isn't it? That God's will is always perfect, even if it seems from the outside perhaps to be a terrible thing. You know, that there's something in God's will in allowing something to happen, permitting something to happen, or causing something to happen. That's part of God's eternal plan for all of us. And now, he wasn't without compassion, and certainly he consoled many families who had lost sick loved ones. Or, you know, I remember one story in particular about a woman who is now a religious. I believe she's a Sister of Mercy, who gave testimony on a documentary about Father Solanas that I was watching. And her brother, who was just newly married and I think had a new baby, was in a very, very bad accident, and and was in the hospital. And their mother, she would have been in probably her late teens, early 20s, said, run down to Father Solanas and ask him to pray for Patrick. That was his name. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pardon me. And she got there, and she said, she spoke to Father Solanas, and Father Solanas, you know, put his hand on her shoulder and said, you know, let's see what the good God wants. And she said, and I knew in that moment, my brother mm-hmm. wasn't going to make it. And I went home and I said, Mom, I think Pat's going to die. I don't think he's going to make it. And of course he did. He died. I think he died that evening. And so, you know, but she said, you know, looking back on it, she said the very merciful way in which he transmitted that to us, and it gave us time to prepare. And, you know, we don't know what would have happened if my brother had, you know, survived, if he would have been so disabled. It would have been a tremendous life of suffering for him. All of those kind of unknowns, right? Mm-hmm. But that's just another story. But he had this incredible sort of prescient, information that God would share with him. But he always used that for the benefit of others, never drew attention to himself, as you say, and always, when he did have to share that, did it in the most compassionate and generous way possible.
Yes, and I think your point about God's will is the key point about the life of Solanas and what his example that he set for everyone with whom he came in contact. It wasn't necessarily good news that was going to be presented, but it was God's will, no matter what had happened, that was perfect.
Right.
It didn't matter the outcome, as long as it was God's will. And living in that, living in, as he would call it, the present moment of that, you have to live in the present moment, he would say, or you could frustrate the plan of God. And so living in that God's will is what brings the peace. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily the outcome. Mm-hmm. Because like you said, in the end, God's will is perfect. So whatever happens, we need to trust that the good is going to come out of that.
Mm. Interesting. Well, you know, I remember reading sometime when he was talking about he had gangrene. And apparently he was in the hospital, Father Solanas was, and he was in absolute agony. And, of course, part of his spirituality, listeners, one of the phrase he is probably best known for is saying, thank God ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
If there is something you need, yes, thank God now that he can,
right,
you know. So for example, God, thank you that you are working to bring my son back to the church. God, thank you that you are mm-hmm. working to find my daughter a good husband. God, thank you that my sick child is going to get better. So that you thank God for the thing that you are praying for ahead of time, actively thanking him. And that was something he always encouraged people to do. But so he was lying in the hospital, he had the gangrene, and he said at least 1,000 times, I was trying to thank God for, you know, that was my principal prayer the whole time I was lying there and I was suffering. But finally he said, God help us. And he said, then Sister Death loosened her grip on me and he was able to leave the hospital within a short time. So even Father Solanas, who again, during that whole hospital stay was thanking God, at one point did say very directly, God, please help me. And that's when he felt like God intervened and he was miraculously healed.
Yes, and he did always make it clear to people that when they were asking for, you know, what will be the outcome, and they really wanted to know through Solanas what will happen. He would always say, you know, you need to pray, because
right,
the outcome will be very much dependent upon your prayer.
Exactly. So, yeah, that you had to be a very active participant in your own petition, and you had to be willing to sort of put the time in, if you will. So he never just sent people away saying, I will pray for you. But he did something kind of very similar to what St. Bernadette told people at Lourdes. You need to pray for yourself as well. I'll join my prayers to yours, but you have to be praying too. So he was very, he certainly understood, I think, human psychology and human nature, knowing that, you know, people would have this anxiety and that's why they were coming to him. But, you know, to take that, transform that anxiety and worry into something positive, which would be prayer. So that's why I think he would say to people, I'll pray with you. I'll pray along with you, but you have to do your own little part. So I kind of like that. It's a very sort of, you know, as you mentioned earlier at the beginning of the conversation, Cammy, that, you know, he was a very practical farm person, right? He was from a farm in Wisconsin, from a big family, and, you know, had a very practical spirituality.
Well, he was, yeah, and I think being close to the soil like that, when you're a farmer, I grew up, my grandfather was a farmer, my aunt took it over, she had 8 kids. You become practical, resourceful,
right,
but also sacrificial,
right,
which helps you to see the needs of others.
Yes. Well, Cammy, we're going to go to our second break, and when we return, we're going to continue our conversation about Solanus Casey, this wonderful priest from Wisconsin and then Detroit, and his canonization. And I know our listeners are anxious to hear about how Solanus Casey worked so directly in your life. This is Mary Fiorito. I am sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change here on AM 750 WNDZ.
Every first Friday, Jeff Hammond sits in to host Winds of Change to talk about the First Friday devotion. Jeff is the section representative of the Equestrian Order of the Holy Sepulchre for the Archdiocese of Chicago. Jeff will share the history, tradition, and prayers of the First Friday devotion. First Fridays at noon on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
The Spirit of Advent with Father Dominic Legge.
The Church begins the Advent season by meditating on the words of St. John the Baptist, and we can take that to heart in our spiritual lives in this season of Advent. What does John the Baptist say to us? Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. What can I do to prepare the Lord's way? Where is the Lord coming to? He wants to come into your heart. He wants to be present in your life. And if you're going to make straight the paths of the Lord into your heart, the best way to do that is to return to the Lord in the sacrament of reconciliation. The season of Advent is a penitential season. It's a season when often confessions are offered for longer hours and maybe in a special Advent penance service. Go to confession. Take advantage of the wonderful graces of forgiveness and mercy that are waiting for you in the confessional. God loves you more than you can imagine. Experience that love this Advent by returning to Him in the Sacrament of Reconciliation.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on Listener Supported, AM 750 WNDZ. And my guest for the past half hour has been Cammy Daly, who is a devotee of a new blessed in the church, Blessed Solanus Casey, who was a Franciscan Capuchin, simplex priest who lived and ministered primarily in the Detroit area, although he was born in Wisconsin. And Solanus Casey was just beatified by the Catholic Church a couple of weeks ago. And Cammy, you were able to go to that beatification mass.
I was.
Tell it. Well, you and 60,000 of your closest friends. Tell us a little bit about what that was like. And then I know the woman who received the miracle that was used to beatify Solanus Casey was also there with you.
She was there. And first of all, I was not planning on going to the beatification. I was not expecting it at all.
It was very difficult to get to.
Very busy life.
It was pretty much impossible
for me to get there, really. But I was presented with these tickets, you know, that very week.
Right.
My son obviously was named after Solanus Casey. Now, it was 10 years ago, and since that time, I've always done private apostolate. You know, we've always been prayer, especially prayer cards. We were always passing them out, and especially his name would evangelize, just the name. Why did you come up with that name? How did you come up with that name? Right. And right there, there's our shot, you know.
So let's go to that then, Cammy. Why did you name your son Solanus Casey Daly? It's an interesting choice.
Well, it kind of started when my friend had introduced me to that video that I was telling you about,
the priest porter prophet.
I watched the video. I fell in love with Solanus Casey. I loved his simplicity. I loved his humility. He was one of those saints. It's just accessible. Just the fact that he listened and the way he became a saint was something that we could all emulate,
right.
You know, and I just could really relate to him, and I just loved him. So I wasn't pregnant at the time I had seen it, but I went ahead and I bought the movie myself for the video, and my husband happened to watch it probably a year or even two maybe after I had bought, and it was just sitting around the house. He watched it one day, and the time he watched it, I actually was pregnant with my son, and he fell in love with Solanas and his life story, and he had suggested that maybe if it's a boy, we could name the boy Solanas, and mm-hmm. I had other names picked out. It was not, you know, I was a school teacher at one time, and I know kids, you know, with names and so forth, and I just thought it was a little bit too different.
Right.
I'd never heard of anyone being called that, and I just thought it would be a little...
Yeah, I mean,
you
there's one
child.
Thing having a devotion to a saint, and then, you know,
that's
a commitment. You know, it's
you don't want to put someone in a situation
right.
where they could be made fun of,
sure,
you know,
of
especially
course.
A child.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, I definitely decided it wouldn't be prudent at this time to do that. I don't think we're going to do that.
And especially since he's not like a super well-known person in the church.
Oh, not
at
all.
That time. So,
no one had heard of him that I had
talked to. Explaining the name every single time you introduced your son to somebody.
Or he would have to explain it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. So we were going to go for something a little more conventional.
Sure.
But anyway, you know, obviously things took a turn there.
Right. So something happened during your pregnancy.
During my pregnancy, it was a condition called velamentous insertion, and it's a medical term that a lot of people don't know about. But basically, the placenta was not in a secure, it was
so
not
attached.
Securely attached.
Okay. Yeah.
Fine during the whole pregnancy, but during the, I was due July 3rd, he was born on June 15th, The cord began to detach, and
okay.
it began to detach at home. Of course, I didn't know that. The doctor didn't know that because he is very, very difficult to detect this condition.
I see. An ultrasound wouldn't necessarily have revealed it. Okay.
No, and the doctor I had was, you know, had done thousands of births and had never experienced this condition. It's very rare. And they say that, you know, if it happens... you know, while you're at home or whatnot. I mean, the chances of anything being good out of this are impossible. So none of us knew what was going on, but I did bleed at home. I started to bleed. It was quite a bit of blood.
Oh, that must have been very frightening.
It was very frightening.
Oh, my goodness.
I called the ambulance.
Okay.
My daughter was home at the time. She was only 12. And she, you know, called my husband. I had a friend come over and watch her. And they took me off in the ambulance and... before I got there, the bleeding did stop for a little bit.
Okay.
So when I got there,
weren't sure how serious this was.
I wasn't sure, but I knew that
this wasn't you. You'd had six other children previously, you knew something.
The show
was
of blood. Yeah. There was something drastically wrong. I did know that. But you know, I called the doctor, and he said, "Well, it's a good thing you just called me. I was literally on my way out the door. 1 minute later, I wouldn't have been here, but."
Wow.
I'll wait for you.
God's timing, my goodness.
Yeah. So I got there, and they put me in a room. They didn't really have time to do epidural. I mean, all of these other things that people ask me, why didn't they do a C-section? Why didn't they do this? That everything just happened so quickly.
Well,
and,
right. And if there's an indication that the child might be in distress, then they just get that baby out as quickly as possible.
I think they were even starting perhaps to do an epidural, but the doctor decided at the time, he said, you know, we're not going to really know what's wrong here until I break the water. So I'm going to break the water and maybe everything will be fine. You know, maybe everything will be fine. Well, he broke the water, and all of a sudden, just blood, water, just came gushing out, and they threw me back. They put me on oxygen, and he just started to yell at me, "Camilla, push now. I need you to push now, as hard as you can, as hard as you can." And I was just calling upon the Holy Spirit. I remember at the time I was praying, "Help me, help me, help me." And I just pushed, and three pushes, baby was out, and he came out, and... he got real pale, and they put him in the little...
Did he cry when he came out?
He made a little, just a little whimper.
Okay.
That was it. And then he got real pale all of a sudden.
Oh, boy.
And then they put him in a little cart, and all of a sudden they just started to run out. And my doctor, or my husband, started to chase after them, and they started to push on his chest and do CPR, do heart compressions. And I don't even remember exactly what happened with the heart. I remember someone saying it's going below 60, and that's all I could remember.
Hmm.
And they were, you know, rushing out.
Right.
They went into a room, closed the shades on my husband so he couldn't even see what was going on. And then he walked back in the room very distraught. And I, in the meantime, I was sitting there in the bed, and I started to think of Solanus, Father Solanus Casey. And I started to think of him and pray to him. And his words came into my mind, "Blessed be God in all his designs." That was one of his
another
his
one
sayings.
Of his, yeah, other than, you know, thank God ahead of time. That's probably the
and
second
thank God
phrase
ahead of time.
That he's best
that one
known
too.
For. Yeah,
yes.
Blessed
and
be God in all his designs.
I was thinking these thoughts, and he came to mind, and all of a sudden, this incredible peace just permeated my whole being. I was in, like, another world of just God's will, God's will, God's will. That's all I could think about was God's will. Hmm. And whatever happened, it was okay.
Right.
And my husband stood by the side of the bed, and he's usually the one that would be really, you know, calm and collected, and I'd be the one that'd be freaking out.
Right.
Well,
not this time, right?
No,
so interesting.
It was just, I knew it was just like something supernatural going on. I mean, when I look back, and I looked at him and I said, "It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens, And I wasn't necessarily saying if he comes out okay. It really was. Whatever happened, it was okay. Even if he didn't make it. I mean, it wasn't, it was just God's will at the moment. I was completely absorbed in it. And
so it sounds a little bit like that moment Father Groeschel describes when Father Solanus was praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament and Father Groeschel happened to walk in on it. And it was, you know, you could tell that the person that Father Solanus praying, you know, to our Lord there was just completely caught up in God's will and his love of God. And it sounds like you had a moment that was, you know, very similar.
I believe it was very similar to that moment.
And do you know
exactly
now, like, what made you call on Father Solanus and what made you think about, in the midst of everything going on and them rushing your son out of the room and doing chest compressions, what do you think made, you know, you call him to mind?
I really don't know if it was that we had been thinking about the name. And I remember battling with it and saying, God, when I look back in my... I had taken, I'd written a little journal, and I was kind of surprised when I looked back, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I had written that. I had written, when we were thinking about names, I had said in my journal, I had said, God, you know, my husband really wants the boy, if it's a boy, to be named Solanus, but I am not convinced. And there was a little sign today where someone had dropped off a book in my mailbox, and my husband said, "See, that's a sign that we're supposed to name him Solanus." And I just laughed, and I wrote, like I said, this is not related at all to this. Was like weeks or months before that I had written this, and I wrote, if it is your will, give me a really big sign.
Oh my goodness. Be careful.
Your
be careful what you pray for, Cammy, next time.
And I, like I said, I just reread that, and I was like, did I really write that?
Oh,
wow.
My goodness.
You know?
Yeah.
And so for some reason, I guess that was in my mind that, I don't know, he came to my mind.
Right.
And it was just something about peace that brought him into my mind, a peacefulness, or maybe he himself was the one that you know, I don't know exactly anymore. Maybe 10 years ago I did, but now I don't remember when you asked me specifically why it was him that came into my mind, but it did.
Yeah, it did. And so what happened? So then they...
So I looked at my husband and I said, it's okay, whatever happens. And I said, I looked right at him, I said, and if he makes it, his name will be Solanus.
Wow.
And I said, and his middle name will even be Casey.
So you're going to go the full yard, right? You're not going to just do it halfway.
And then right after that, it was just like one calm thing after another. And
so then you felt a complete peace, even though you didn't know what your son's condition was?
No. Nope. It was just God's will.
And so what happened? So Solanus, I know, was transferred then to another hospital.
He was, but I called my friend, the one who actually had introduced me to him from the beginning, I called a few friends for prayers, and I just wanted to let them know what had happened, and I called for their prayers. And she would leave on her message machine occasionally, well, a lot. She would leave
little inspirational quotes. Right? Mm-hmm. You were telling me this, yeah.
And it just happened to be when I called, she was not there, and I called her, and on the phone message, she has the words, "God's will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else." Hmm. Solanus Casey.
Wow.
And right after all this happened. And then she called me a little while later, and she said, "You know, when you called me, I was at Marytown, a Franciscan retreat center. Father Groeschel was giving a talk about Solanus Casey."
Wow.
One thing after another.
Wow. Well,
one
this is a perfect place to break, Cami. We're going to keep our listeners hanging on the edge of their seats. And when we return, we're going to hear the rest of the story about the miracle that your family believes Blessed Solanus Casey performed for your own son, Solanus. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, two blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
And welcome back. This is Mary Fiorito. I'm sitting in today here for Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And I've been joined today by Cami Daly, who is a great advocate and promoter of the cause of Blessed Solanus Casey, who was a Capuchin Franciscan priest who lived in the Detroit area primarily, although he was born and raised on a farm in Wisconsin. And Blessed Solanus Casey is on his way now to being a saint in the Catholic Church. And Cami, we stopped our conversation just at a very dramatic point. You had a very complicated birth with your son, Solanus, and your placenta detached early. And when we last were discussing this, he had just been whisked away into another room where they were doing chest compressions on him. And then they wound up transferring him to Children's Memorial because his situation was so serious.
Well, he needed a blood transfusion as well. And he has the very rare type of blood. I believe it's negative AB. And the hospital very often does not have that on hand at all. And I remember the doctor saying, well, we gave him a blood transfusion. We didn't have any of that type of blood in the hospital. But just this very morning, someone came in and gave that blood.
See how God makes everything work together.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. So he had the blood transfusion and whatnot, but they did come in, and the chaplain came in. She had her head down, and she said, it doesn't look good, you know. Mm. And my husband, was convinced that, yeah, he probably isn't going to make it. And the doctor had his head down. He didn't think he was going to make it either. So they did rush him to Children's, though, and they had him in a box, all wired up, and they took him off. And the chaplain did say when they took him off, she said, "Well, he's going over to Children's, but he's definitely not out of the woods."
Oh.
And she was trying to counsel me.
To prepare you for
death and whatnot. And all I could say was, "Let's get a priest. We need a priest. Let's get him baptized." The priest came. I was in this complete, like I said, Father Solanas was just like all around. And all I said was, "Can we just do a rosary together?" And the priest looked at me and he said, "Wow, really? Oh, that's a great sign of faith. You don't see that too much anymore." And yes, absolutely. So we did a rosary together. And all I could think about was I got to get to Children's. I got to get better and get some of that milk coming so that we could get him,
have breast milk. Get
it to Children's. And that's all I could think about. It wasn't like, "Oh, he's not going to make it. He's going to make it." Mm-hmm. It was just in the present moment of God's will.
But you seem to have been given some sort of confidence that he was going to be okay.
I didn't really even...
You didn't really know?
No.
But it, okay.
No, I honestly did not know he was going to be okay. It was just...
But just a sense of peace that you had.
The sense of peace.
Okay.
That's all I can say was that sense of peace. So they took him off, and a couple days later, I did get to join him at Children's. It was a wonderful staff that took care of us. He was in the most critical care unit. He had a team of several doctors around him that gave a report every day. And when we left, basically, they had done every test. They were very, very worried about the kidneys, the brain, you know, the oxygen that he had been deprived of, the blood loss. They said he suffered from severe hypovolemia. Babies cannot lose blood. They could not understand why. Nothing was wrong.
Wow. At the
end, I said, "Well, what's your diagnosis here?" And they said, "Well, we really don't know."
Right. They couldn't understand, but you certainly
from
could.
All the tests that we've done, we don't see anything wrong. We don't know.
And you attribute that, his miraculous, you know, recovery from this traumatic situation to Blessed Solanus' intercession.
I do.
Yeah.
We do. Yes, we do. Because he was there and he came to mind, and it was his words of comfort that were surrounding me. And I do believe that his presence at the time was giving me that same peace that he had when he was living in that will of God. He was intercessing with his gift, mm-hmm. you know, of that being in God's will at the time.
Hmm. Well, so you named your son Solanas Casey
Daly. So we named him Solanas Casey after him.
He was baptized mm-hmm. there in the hospital.
He was.
So that's very... So what did the priest who baptized him know who Solanas Casey was? What was the reaction?
No one in the hospital knew who he was. In fact, the evangelization or the catechesis the teaching about Solanas Casey started that very day.
Right. That was my very first assignment.
And I actually called my friend and I said, "You know what? Order me. I need cards. I need prayer cards of Solanas Casey." She ordered me about 100 cards.
Good.
And when I was at Children's, I was giving them out. And everyone was asking me about Solanas. And they'd uh-huh. Google him up and they'd say, "Oh, I learned this about him. And oh, tell me more." And I'd give them the prayer cards. And I tell them the story. "Oh, it gives me goosebumps. Oh." And I could just tell that God wanted this man.
He
wanted it out.
Right. And, you know, Cammie, because one of the things I remember you and I were talking about this, and listeners, Cammie and I met a good number of years ago, probably maybe a year after this happened. And Cammie was sharing the story with me. And Cammie is not a person who likes to draw attention to herself at all. And so she has been sharing this story one-on-one with people. But now it seems like God really wants you to be sharing it with a wider audience. And I know that the Chicago Sun-Times did a story on you, and I saw something in the local River Forest paper. So it seems that now is the moment where, you know, God's asking you to make the sacrifice, Cammie, mm-hmm. because I know you don't like doing anything that talks about you specifically. But you had an opportunity to go to Solanas Casey's beatification in Detroit a couple of weeks ago, which was, I think, the sort of basis for so many stories about your family now, because it there's just a very timely moment here, because there are so few American-born mm-hmm. saints and blesseds to begin with. So this is kind of a rare occasion to begin with, and you happen to have such a personal connection to the saint. What was it like being in Detroit for that beatification?
Well, I have to tell you, like I said, the tickets came available that week to me through a friend who just happened to be able to get the tickets, and I was not expecting to go at all. It was very difficult for me to get there, but basically what happened was It's an amazing story. Don't have time to tell the whole story, but God basically picked us up. He brought us there and he brought us back. Everything was taken care of, everything to the T.
Every last detail, right.
I really just, at one point I said, God, this is impossible for me. You know that. Solanus, if this is your will that we're there, make it happen. And as soon as I made it happen, everything fell into place.
Wow.
We went.
You just turned it over, said, God, you take care of this if you want it to happen.
Yes.
And you know, isn't it funny? Like, when we try not to control things, that's exactly when God
can
work,
exactly when it happens. And, yeah. and we say, oh, we're going to trust. And then, you know, and then we don't completely. And then we look after the fact and we're like, why didn't I trust completely? And while I was there, I heard Solana say to me, you were with me in this. I want you here. It was, wow. Oh, my gosh. It was just like bringing back that whole time that, well, really the whole time of 10 years we've been evangelizing, you know, about his life of living the gospel and who he is and trying to bring the knowledge of him to others so that they can benefit from his intercession as well and working for this beatification.
Right.
And so when we left, it was like, okay, now we're on a mission.
Yes. So God's given you this opportunity.
We've really got to get the word out so that people can pray to him because he's such a powerful intercessor. He can really bring hope.
Right.
This is the whole message that I want people to come away with from this interview.
So listeners, if you want people, if you want to direct people to, you know, other than I know you like to do this one-to-one, but since we have this opportunity, solanuscasey.org is a wonderful website with information about him. And now you've mentioned a video that had a great impact on you. Can you repeat the name of that again, please?
Priest, Porter, Prophet.
Priest, Porter, Prophet. And that's published by
Ignatius Press.
Okay. And then again.
And then the Solanus Guild.
The Solanus Guild. The Blessed Solanus Guild, right? And then, go ahead. I'm sorry.
There is this Solanus Casey Center in Detroit, Michigan.
Right. All places where you can
body
learn.
Is, mm-hmm.
Right. And then there's the wonderful book, Thank God Ahead of Time, by Father Michael Crosby, who is a fellow Franciscan, who was stationed here at St. Peter's in Chicago, Illinois, for quite a few many years. And so again, Solanus, for those unfamiliar with the name, is spelled S-O-L-A-N-U-S and C-A-S-E-Y. And again, the Father Solanus Guild, solanuscasey.org, and then any of the resources that Cami just mentioned. Now, Cami, there was also present with you and your son, Solanus, at the beatification. The woman whose miraculous healing was the basis for the church moving forward with Solanus Casey's beatification. So listeners who aren't familiar with the process, she was from Peru, is that correct?
She was from Panama. And she was
praying
at the tomb of Father Solanus for other people. And he spoke to her and said, well, what about yourself? What do you need? And all of a sudden, she started feeling warmth in her leg. She had this terrible scaling skin disease with all kinds of scales on her legs. And she started
and she
to lift up her pant,
yeah.
and she saw the scales rolling off her slacks. Rolling off her skin.
Well, there's that and all the other miraculous stories can be found at solanuscasey.org. This has been Mary Fiorito. I've been sitting in today for Father Anthony here on Winds of Change on AM 750. WNDZ. Have a blessed day.
Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now, the winds have changed. Read the signs, no time to hide. The winds have changed. What's there to say? Become so obscure, it does not take that long. Can you see? Can you see? Can you see? The winds have changed. Thank you. dog, the truth lives.